The following is an AI reading of my blog called Prediction Markets Crowdsourcing Information for Good Decisions. It is for people who don't have time to read blogs and can listen to podcasts though. So, let's go!
Last year, for several days, the world anxiously watched the election of the US president. In the United States, it was the topic of the year, even more important than the pandemic for some people. As always in elections, political commentators, opinion polls, political scientists, and others provided a lot of information. However, after successfully predicting Trump's victory 4 years ago through prediction markets, it is these markets that have gained more attention from the public, particularly during the last few days of the election. In this article, I will not focus on the US president, but rather explore how we can use prediction markets to gather information and make better decisions, not just in politics. What a prediction market looks like. A prediction market is simply a bet with a market price. Let's explore Catnip Exchange, which serves as the user interface for the Augur crypto prediction market and includes an automatic market maker called Balancer. This platform allows us to trade between dollar value, represented by the dollar-linked cryptocurrency DAI, and winning tickets. The YES ticket is easy to understand with its icon. If you possess one YES ticket or Y Trump, it will pay you $1 if Donald Trump wins. On the other hand, a no ticket N Trump, featuring a crossed out Trump image, will provide $1 in return if Donald Trump doesn't win. We can observe that 100 DA dollars allows us to purchase up to 645.81 YES tickets. In the event of Donald Trump's victory, we would have earned, including our initial investment, $545.81. However, if Donald Trump loses, these tokens hold no value and will be relinquished, resulting in a loss of $100. The no ticket carries a higher market price, enabling us to buy just under 120 tickets for 100 DAI. We can trade tickets for each other. From the ratio of their prices, the exchange will also calculate the probability that the no ticket will be the winning ticket. In this case, at the time of writing, the probability that Trump will lose according to the market price in the prediction market is 84.60%. As these tickets are tradable all the time, their market price varies. Thus, new information is always coming into the forecast. If someone has some information that changes the probabilities, they can trade that information. They do not have to bet on the final outcome, they can bet on current odds. Let's imagine the unlikely scenario that Trump has an ace up his sleeve, for example. He found a way to declare the election invalid or something similar. Anyone with this information knows that the price of a YES ticket is too low, the actual probability might be 40%, for example, but the market says 15.4% equals 100% minus 84.60%. Therefore, a person with this knowledge might not believe that the likelihood of Trump winning is greater than 50%, but it's higher compared to the current situation. They can purchase Trump's YES tokens prior to this information being disclosed to the public. And 24 hours later, they can sell these tokens for 40 cents each, as the perceived probability has altered. The prediction market encourages those possessing better information than what the current market price offers to trade this knowledge. As a result, through individual transactions, we enhance the accuracy of the information. Tomas Forgoch pointed out that while media outlets were still announcing Trump's lead, the prediction markets shifted the market price approximately 3 hours before the information became public. It should be noted that what is considered public can vary. Even with the internet, information dissemination occurs at a certain pace. Journalists need to process it and write about it. However, despite the existence of instant news reporting, market prices have not been as swift in reflecting changes, though various analyses have discussed this possibility. The question we always face is, which analysis should we trust? Arbitration. One excellent feature of prediction markets is about to be introduced. If the odds in two different markets are not the same, an additional market player enters and performs what's known as arbitrage. In this process, the individual performing the arbitrage, the arbitrageur, doesn't possess any extra information. For example, if a YES ticket is priced at $0.02 in one market and $0.02 For in another, by executing simple market operations, they can buy the YS ticket from the cheaper market and sell it short. In the more expensive market, in this scenario, they make an immediate profit of $0.02 per ticket irrespective of the eventual result. However, remember that there are several limitations to carrying out this operation. For instance, a YES ticket in the crypto prediction market is indeed represented as a cryptocurrency, but it doesn't mean you can send it to a traditional bookmaker and sell it. Hence, you need to structure your bets so that this market actor remains neutral to the outcome while still earning a profit from the price difference. The specific approach depends on the markets. Unlike market actors who supply information, arbitrageurs equalize prices. Thus, prices in different prediction markets are very similar. They may differ only by the transaction costs of conducting the arbitrage. If we have hundreds of different pollsters, a CNN commentator, a Fox News commentator, a blogger, members of election staffs, foreign media commentators, and so on, everyone has their own opinion, their own analysis, or their own results that they present. Which of them is right? There is no arbitrage between the opinions of a CNN commentator and Fox News. They are separate islands with different audience bases. Information flows both ways, but polarized media rarely find consensus. The prediction market converges to a single probability distribution thanks to arbitrageurs. So it doesn't matter if the prediction market is red or blue, the market is not trading I would like. But I think it will happen, and every opinion about what will happen is backed by a financial investment. Journalists and experts may lose their reputation, but it rarely has a long-term effect for them. My favorite example is Paul Krugman, who has a Nobel Prize in economics. But his predictions are usually so off that some people trade the inverse Krugman strategy. I'm betting that exactly what Krugman says won't happen. Despite that, he is still considered an expert. We have countless similar experts in cryptocurrencies. The mechanism of how we find these experts is also interesting. In most cases, the amount of successful experts is determined by their entry into the funnel rather than their skills. If we have 100 chimps at the entrance to the funnel who can buy YES and no tokens by hitting the red or blue button, at the end of the election we have an average of 50 experts whose predictions worked out. If we repeat this 6 times, out of 100 experts we have on average 3 who were not wrong. But if we start with 1,000,000 experts, after 5 elections we have 31,250 experts who randomly predicted the future. The problem is that pressing buttons has almost no cost, so an expert's career is based on creating a Twitter account and subtle marketing about what correct predictions they've made. Even a few incorrect predictions are easy to downplay, and thus people like Krugman still have opportunities to make predictions. Paradoxically then, it becomes more interesting whether their prediction results in a clickbait article, and more valuable the number of predictions that can be turned into long articles for which the journalist is paid by character count rather than their reliability. The market resolves this issue through fact-checking in the form of profit and loss statements. Of course, a successful information trader can also get lucky, and the math works similarly for them, except that each prediction has a cost. Predicting means investing in the prediction market. Of course, the returns are located elsewhere too. Instead of an expert giving a paid talk at a business conference in an airport hotel, they can earn quite a bit of money if their predictions come true, if they are correct. Insiders, not everyone's opinion holds interest. I believe in allowing everyone to express their thoughts while having the choice to listen or not. On this subject, reading the book Skin in the Game by Nassim Nicholas Taleb is insightful. I recall discussing with journalists who openly commented on Bitcoin's price. It's a bubble, and similar statements were made. I always inquire about the size of their short position. If they don't have one, I consider that they might not know how to short the market. In response, I propose a bet. To simplify my point, I suggested, we'll place a private key for Bitcoins worth $100 and a $100 banknote in a sealed envelope. In 3 years, we will open the envelope and determine whose choice has a higher value. The person with the winning choice will receive both prizes, as well as a dinner invitation from the losing party. During this dinner, the winner will have 2 hours to brag about their victory. However, the journalist in question refused to participate in such a bet. Opinion pieces in newspapers are what journalists get paid for. Nevertheless, standing by their predictions is not part of their job description. This situation exemplifies the absence of skin in the game. If a journalist writes anything related to Bitcoin, they would still receive payment for their words. By the way, I suggested making a bet that I might actually lose. Fortunately, I did not have to listen to the journalist bragging about being correct. Prediction markets offer an advantage because not every individual's opinion holds equal weight. There will be numerous Biden or Trump supporters willing to wager $10 or $100 on their preferred candidate. But if someone has truly credible information, it's worth betting orders of magnitude more, and that's regardless of the final outcome, which is largely stochastic. If a pollster asks a representative sample of 10,000 voters, they have no incentive to answer truthfully. They can change their minds. Moreover, with such a large number of voters, it is very difficult to select a representative sample. The margin of error is huge, usually higher than the signal. If the poll is a telephone poll, it's possible that Trump voters are neurotic and will just hang up. Or Biden has more voters among Gen Z, which don't answer calls from unknown numbers. If it's a daughter or poll, the father of the family might not want to admit to the kids that he's going to vote for Trump, so he'll say I don't know yet or Biden. Of course, all of these biases in the data are addressed by survey firms with various model-based corrections. The question is whether this is achievable. If I know the probabilities better than anyone else, the cost of the survey can be recouped the next time I make a good trade. Using prediction markets in business. If you ask a project manager if a project that is due to be completed at the end of next year is on track, they will very often say that if nothing goes too wrong, it is. Of course, he would need more people. This is despite the fact that he is convinced that the project is not on track or the whole project is pointless. For a project manager, his norm is his monthly paycheck. If the entire project is useless or the team can't deliver, 12 months of his livelihood is at risk. It's better to be fired 12 months from now than right away, and if he knows up front that the project isn't going to happen, no one even has to try that hard. So it's best for the team delivering the project when something goes very wrong at the very last minute and no one could have foreseen it. For entrepreneurs or companies, this is certainly an undesirable situation. It consumes resources to complete the project, yet the team doesn't put in much effort, and crucial information remains with the team instead of reaching those who funded the project. If failing to deliver a project on time results in financial penalties for a company, knowing that it won't be completed should also have some monetary value. Consider this simplified scenario. A customer wants their project finished within 12 months. If the deadline is met, the company gets paid, otherwise they receive nothing. The project requires 5 individuals to work on it, each costing an average of $3,000 per month, resulting in a total cost of $180,000 for the entire project duration. The customer pays $300,000 if the project is delivered punctually. By signing such a contract, we face 2 potential outcomes: either losing $180,000 or gaining $120,000. But how can we predict if our team will deliver? Let's imagine that a company has a workforce of 100 employees and decides to place a bet. The specific method of placing a bet may vary, but the tickets must be tradable. For instance, it might say, "Here's $10,000, we're going to bet on you not making it." Anyone can add more money to any pile, betting either yes or no. If the team believes they can make it, they can place a bet too. Of course, even the janitor has the option to bet, although their chances of placing a successful bet are quite slim. If anyone within the company holds valuable information, they also have the opportunity to wager. As an example, consider a key programmer who got pregnant recently but hasn't informed her employer yet and won't be as productive in 6 months. Alternatively, someone may genuinely like the project and wish to participate by placing a bet to help ensure it's completed on time. Based on the resulting price ratio, the entrepreneur can then decide whether or not to proceed with the project. If they choose not to, they could refund everyone's money as one possible solution. Firstly, it should be noted that not all countries permit this form of gambling. Hence, another method exists why YES tickets are given freely to employees and can be traded on an internal platform for no tickets if monetary transactions aren't allowed. In either scenario, a company incurs costs to obtain reliable information. When trading occurs during the project's development phase, information remains updated. Consequently, no one needs to state that it's not happening. They only need to stop believing and sell their YES tickets. This enables the company to promptly rectify any issues. Numerous companies employ this principle as well, including tech giants like Google, Microsoft, and HP, who run internal prediction markets. For instance, Best Buy utilized an internal prediction market to ascertain whether or not it could establish a store in Shanghai within the required time frame, discovering that it couldn't, thus saving significant expenditure by handling the situation effectively. For a while, the U.S. military used prediction markets to predict meeting deadlines for testing weapon systems. Multiple teams were necessary to effectively test a complex system. If even one of them failed to deliver their part on time, the test had to be cancelled and rescheduled. Cancelling such a test was extremely costly, so it was worth creating a prediction market to gather this information. Why don't they continue using these markets? The prediction market was very accurate. However, military personnel were not pleased when it became apparent a year ahead that they weren't keeping up with the deadlines. It brings about stupid questions like who is incompetent and needs replacing. A more desirable scenario would be it went wrong at the last minute and nobody could have anticipated it. After all, the taxpayer will ultimately pay for any delays or setbacks. By the way, if we make decisions based on prediction market prices, these are referred to as decision markets. CEO selection decision markets. Corporate prediction markets may also be publicly traded. The stock market serves as the basic prediction market, providing insight into the future performance of a publicly traded company. If I possess information suggesting that a company could perform better than what its stock value indicates, it would be beneficial to purchase that stock. As a result, fluctuations in stock prices serve as a swift and effective means of gathering information about which companies are likely to succeed. It's worth mentioning the challenge posed by central banks attempting to save the economy, leading to price distortions through asset purchases like stocks. However, when using share prices to compare individual companies, how can we utilize them to enhance just one company? Let's consider a scenario in which a company's leader retires and the board identifies two potential successors. Which candidate would fare better? In this situation, a firm could establish a new type of stock contingent on the appointment of a specific CEO. For example, this share will convert to a regular share if Alice becomes the CEO of the firm. We now have two tradable shares available. If I possess information suggesting that Alice might lead the company to bankruptcy, I would short or sell her stock and purchase the other one instead. In this scenario, the market determines which CEO is more valuable. The individual whose stock holds higher worth will become the CEO. There are various methods for handling the remaining shares that don't meet certain conditions. Once again, insiders play a crucial role in influencing the decision at hand. These individuals could be Alice's former colleague, who has knowledge about both candidates and their capabilities. It might also be someone aware of Alice's issues with prediction market gambling or her use of microdosing heroin. Additionally, it may involve Alice's colleagues at the company, recognizing her strong leadership skills and ability to cooperate well with others. If she becomes their boss, they will assist in boosting the firm's profits. The insider's success is not determined by whether they are from inside or outside the company. The key factor is knowing something about the wrong market price that hasn't been detected yet. This knowledge allows them to make predictably successful long-term predictions. Anonymity and ethics of insider trading. In this situation, anonymity plays a crucial role. For example, using Chomian tokens, which don't require a blockchain, can provide privacy. Alice can bet on her competitor if she knows he will be a better CEO. The project manager can also bet on the project's failure while pretending everything is going as planned. A competitor, aware of their company's impending trouble, can invest in a competitor who will win. For instance, the CTO of a cell phone carrier may know they made a bad decision and invested in a doomed technology, prompting them to buy the competitor's stock or purchase options such as puts on their company or calls on the competitor. This feature of prediction markets is quite positive, especially when they are anonymous, as they provide superior information. In most countries, insider trading is heavily regulated, and there's often a fundamental misconception about the market's purpose. A trader in a prediction market can make money if they possess non-public information that hasn't been incorporated into the price yet. This enables them to accurately adjust the price, which then includes pertinent information. Whether it's prediction markets, including stocks as a particular case, or decision markets, insider information is what we're after. The so-called disproportionate profit of insiders can actually be advantageous for society because someone sells us valuable information and benefits from it. A well-designed prediction market will guarantee that the information we purchase holds greater value, meaning we make significantly better decisions than the cost of obtaining the information. And a well-functioning prediction market attracts and supports insiders who have the best information. At the same time, the presence of money and market prices provides skin in the game. It's not opinion over coffee or the opinion of an analyst in the media. Futaki, the concept of prediction markets was developed by Professor Robin Hansen, who was also a guest in Bratislava or at the Hackers Congress Parallel Polis 2019. He is the originator of the Futaki concept, whereby a government can define targets, for example, employment, GDP growth, etc., and a set of decision markets based on market prices will determine the path that gets us there. Will immigrants take our jobs? Both the anti-immigration alt-right and all-inclusive progressives will never end this social debate. They are separate groups who even pride themselves on not listening to each other. You don't discuss with Nazis. Progressives are paid by Soros. If I want to know what Soros thinks, I'll ask him. When we seek people's opinions, we often discover the effects of social bubbles. For example, a Cambridge student and a New York businessman will likely hold different views. But whose opinion carries more weight? In democratic societies, those with greater voting power, even if indirect, tend to have stronger influence. However, not every viewpoint holds equal significance on this matter. The topic of immigration represents a clash of values, making it difficult to determine which set is superior. If we aim to identify the values that yield better quantifiable outcomes, we need input from well-informed insiders who possess ample information. Thus, we seek speculators with vested interests. Instead of shielding ourselves from insiders and speculators, we desire insiders and speculation. How to test this? We don't have to wager on the result of the United States presidential election or delve into complex crypto markets to grasp the concept behind prediction markets. If you have an engaging murder mystery movie, consider creating a prediction market where participants can trade while watching the film. Robin Hansen has written a tutorial detailing how to create such a game. If you know any good movies I haven't seen yet, please share your recommendations with me. What if experts are not wealthy? Risk perception and management play significant roles in decision making. For example, someone might believe Trump will win an election, but prefers selling a ticket now for a 5-cent profit rather than winning a dollar later. This person may lack confidence or simply dislike taking risks. In his insightful blog about prediction markets, Vitalik Buterin discussed how the N-Trump no-ticket still traded at 85 cents on a dollar even after the election results were announced and judges denied Trump's appeal to earn more than $50,000. Vitalik put up $1 million worth of Ether as collateral to borrow around $300,000 in DAI. While he considered it an easy win, most people are hesitant to bet substantial amounts, even on seemingly obvious outcomes. The distinction between individuals who are simply experts and entrepreneurs primarily lies in their perception of risk. As such, entrepreneurs, those involved in trading information within prediction markets, must acquire knowledge from other insiders or specialists, subsequently assessing the accuracy of these sources. Consider an initial example. The individual who placed a bet against Trump's victory possessed certain information prior to it becoming widespread. This information was not yet accounted for by the market price. For instance, they may have had access to numerous YES tokens that were exchanged for NO tokens at favorable odds due to their connection with a temporary worker responsible for vote counting in Michigan. The trader is thus engaged in gathering information, analyzing its significance and potential influence on future pricing. Now, let's explore another scenario. I wish to invest in a company specializing in the development of a COVID-19 vaccine. If all the firms are publicly traded, this can be done through stocks. However, if it's a huge pharmaceutical company whose price is affected by various other factors, I could have bet on the first approved vaccine for general use. To make it a good deal, of course, I need to know who is how close, whether anyone has failed, what types of vaccines even have a chance of working, etc. I can ask immunologists, doctors, and experts who might not want to bet, and for good information offer them money. For example, I can offer them upside but reduce their downside or upfront investment need. That means I can use expert opinion while avoiding the risk. Of course, I have to evaluate which of the experts I asked are right, and which prices are wrong in the market myself. With experts, a plurality of opinions, domain knowledge, and analysis of options are required, but skin in, the game traders have to choose who is right. That's the only way to consistently make money in the market. As a side effect of their earnings, we have timely and quality information. This does change over time, but there is only ever one market price at any given time thanks to arbitrageurs. The Cobra Effect and how to change the world with prediction markets. The British government in India was concerned about the number of poisonous cobras in Delhi. They therefore offered bounties for every dead cobra. Initially, it was a successful strategy where a large number of snakes were killed for the bounty. Later, however, enterprising people started breeding cobras so that they could then get paid for killing them. When the true situation was discovered, the government stopped the project and the cobra breeders released the venomous snakes into the wild. The population of wild cobras even increased. A seemingly effective solution to the problem has made the situation even worse. Asterisk, based on this anecdote, the unintended consequences effect is named the Cobra Effect, an attempt to solve a problem. Will make the problem worse. Imagine if, when asked if they were struggling to deliver a project on time, someone other than the company itself got a large investment on the no side. Then someone would infect the team with flu. The power would start going out while compiling code at night. The main programmer suddenly starting to go to parties every night. His productivity would drop. He was attracted to the parties by a femme fatale working for the no investor. With prediction markets, it's important to realize that the very existence of the market and its setup can affect the outcome. Normally, this is a positive. If the whole team is invested in YES because you can't invest in no, they can try harder. This is why some companies provide stock options or profit sharing to their employees. This allows staff members to directly impact the company's value and generate income for themselves. However, they don't directly possess shares. The options have an expiration date. So the benefits only apply if the employees remain with the company during that time. Prediction markets can serve both as information gathering tools and bonus systems. Each employee has the choice of receiving a larger bonus when targets are met or getting some money immediately. This caters to individuals with varying risk preferences. Consequently, prediction markets can also be employed for sourcing non-numeric data. As an example, Parallel Polis posted a link to an anonymous prediction market concerning the publication date of Andrej Danko's final thesis, which was suspected to contain plagiarism. While anyone is able to share their thoughts on this matter, those who have access to the thesis, meaning they are privy to more information, can contribute valuable insights. Insider info: you can arrange for your thesis to be published anonymously by a specified date and then collect the prize in an anonymous cryptocurrency. This actually makes those who bet against its release in public before the given date crowd fund the disclosure, but they only pay if the disclosure happens. The people with access to the work are incentivized to win the collected money. They don't need to reveal their identity directly. They just have to secure the leak. Prediction markets can motivate individuals to act accordingly. However, be cautious of the Cobra Effect. By the way, this allows you to estimate the approximate value of the electoral vote. how many votes are needed to influence the outcome so that you're sure to make money. Remember, the opposing side can do it too. Bounty. Programs function on a similar principle. The Hacktrophy project enables ethical hackers to search for security vulnerabilities and offers rewards upon successful discovery of these weaknesses. This program includes even my personal website. A bounty program has been instrumental in various historical events such as the Ortega Prize, which motivated the first transatlantic flight, the X Prize, which inspired the development of a reusable aircraft capable of crossing the 100-kilometer space boundary twice within 2 weeks. Financial incentives for addressing global and local challenges are increasingly prevalent today. For instance, Netflix paid $1 million to a team that enhanced their prediction algorithm. The question then arises, when is it appropriate to use a prediction or decision market versus directly awarding bounties? Prediction markets tend to be more suitable in cases where anonymity, insider information, or collaboration between multiple entities are required. Also, if we want to give the market the option to decide not to pay out, for example, Andrej Danko could bet that his rigorous will not leak, thus reducing the incentive to leak. He would get part of the bounty, and those who wanted it to leak would get the money. And of course, the prediction market is better when the market prices themselves give us useful information before the event comes to be evaluated. What kinds of prediction markets are there? A proper prediction market must satisfy three properties. First, it uses real money. Second, it is easy to use. Third, it is easy to create a new market with a question. All three of these features also allude to regulations. Some markets like Metakulu's, Manifold and Foretold don't use real money, just some points. This makes them more of a signaling tool than a real betting tool, where the market participants have skin in the game. The text has been converted for audio narration as follows. The reason behind this is usually due to regulation. Using real money for betting is seen as gambling in many states, making it either prohibited or filled with red tape, requiring various stamps. However, we have crypto markets that exist in a cloud, separate from standard jurisdictions. For instance, the decentralized Augur, which isn't particularly user-friendly, serves as one such market. In contrast, some markets like Polymarket do not adhere to merely creating a new market accompanied by a question. Other intriguing choices include insight prediction, exotic markets, Zeiss, or Omen. In conclusion, prediction markets aren't the same as roulette. Their market price offers valuable information, allowing us to make better decisions. It's a method of gathering knowledge from people who participate in the market with something at stake. These markets aren't exclusive to crypto and betting enterprises. They are also utilized internally by companies for sourcing information. A potential application could be figuring out, for instance, how to decrease COVID-19 casualties with minimal economic impact. We should not merely rely on our experts, but rather seek information from the top-notch experts and knowledge investors worldwide. For example, if a billionaire possesses an excellent plan endorsed by specialists, I believe they would put resources into the best solution in order to win the bet, and we'd perceive social media discussions or a politician's press conference for what they genuinely are: economical amusement. This blog is taken from my book. Discover additional content similar to this in my book titled Cryptocurrencies: Hacking Your Way Towards an Improved Life. It serves as a comprehensive guide for Bitcoin and cryptocurrency enthusiasts. Understand the functioning of the Lightning Network, learn how to accept cryptocurrencies, explore opportunities for various professions, cope with different market situations, and discover ways to enhance your lifestyle using crypto. Get it on my eShop, BTC, BTC and XMR, and even old school plastic, or at Amazon.
Thank you for listening. I'm sorry for any possible quirks generated by the large language model or text-to-speech engine, but I think it is worth transferring these blocks into audio form for people who can't or don't have time to read. So I hope it was useful to you, and I would really appreciate if you used value for value podcasting apps to listen to this episode and stream me some sets or boost I read all the comments on the boosts as well. So if you have any comment about this content, feel free to use Fountain.fm or any other app and boost this podcast. Thank you very much.